And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Wow, making it cool to be a conservative. Text lines are open. Text it in or call it in. Same number for both, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Some of you already figured this out. Let me see what I got here. Dustin from Hillsboro says, let's normalize calling these protesters adults. They are not children. I don't know, man. I'm looking at some of them. I think they want to be children. They're adults throwing temper tantrums like, you know, the terrible twos are still going on. And by the way, Dustin, so I'm not disregarding what you're saying. I know why you're saying it. But here's the thing. A lot of these kids are not even old enough to buy a beer. A lot of them are not even old enough to, you know, I don't know. Some of them are not even old enough to vote. And they're certainly not old enough to be making demands of a university. By the way, I did hear that, and we'll talk about it later, but I did hear that Brown University capitulated today and accepted the demands of the protesters. What were they thinking? So they're going to have to, now they're going to vote as a board of trustees to divest themselves of anything to do with Israel. What an absolutely asinine thing to do. So the next time they don't like having Crispitos in the cafeteria, you're going to wind up having another riot and they're going to make demands. Just wait and watch. John from Elkmont says, Isaiah 3:12, as for my people, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. Wow. Well, I think we're seeing some of that. Scott from Somerville says, too many liberal Americans seem to think that the preamble to the Constitution says to promote the common defense and provide the general welfare. Yeah. Yes, it does not. Morgan from Fort Myers, Florida says, Morgan, Fort Myers, Florida, the problem that I see is that these kids don't understand that, he basically says they're going to find out. Then he says, unfortunately, there's no find out in that equation. Once they took down the American flag and put up a Palestinian flag, someone should have gone in there and given them a tail whooping that their parents never gave them. By the way, I will say this. I'm not a huge fan of New York City Mayor Adams. But this morning he had one of those moments where it's probably going to replay on every one of his re-election commercials. He got up there and he talked about how at Columbia University, when they went in last night and took back the campus, that one of the first things his officers did was haul down the Palestinian flag and run the American flag back up the pole. And then he got real heated and he said, I think he said, my uncle or my father died for that flag, and I will not stand by and watch this happen. And this is our flag, and we're going to make sure that this is, you know, set right. It was a great moment for him. Lots of warts and blemishes on him as far as I'm concerned politically, but generally speaking, that was a good moment. John from Huntsville says, Phil, fantastic monologue. Also just wanted to say happy hump day to you and Big Rig. Thank you, brother. We appreciate you. Brian from Huntsville says, broken windows. Didn't Bill Gates invent that? Ha, ha, ha. Nice. And then Lewis from Trinity tried to send me something, but it didn't come through, Lewis. So if you sent me a meme, it did not stick. All right, listen, we got a great show laid on for you. I'm going to kick off with the first segment is all about last night in the Alabama State Senate. Got a bit weird, and I'm hearing it got a bit weirder today. So is gambling alive or not? Okay, we'll find out. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, I'm going to be jumping into dipper number one. Let me grab a few quick texts so I don't lose track of those real quick. Ronnie from Danville says, Phil, somebody's paying them people to demonstrate. Look at the tents. They're all the same size and color. I agree. Now, I don't know if they all just ran down to Walmart and bought whatever tents were in stock, but somebody paid for them, that's for sure. Jerry from Decatur, and by the way, I'm not going to be a bit surprised to find out. Let me say this. I do believe that the report that I had on the show the other day that George Soros organizations are helping fund this, that's happening. I agree. I also bet there's going to be somebody's daddy back home who's going to look at the credit card bill and go, what'd you buy at Walmart? That's going to happen. You wait. Jerry from Decatur, did I get that one? Says, these young people think they want to rule. Why don't they start governing themselves first and just stop the stupid? Amen and airborne. I hear you, man. JT Lacey Springs says, when the first campus window broke, there should have been a deluge with fire hoses followed by security and police dragging them out in the street. I'm for that. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, these kids are doing this protesting. It'd be interesting to know how many of them come from private or homeschools. I bet it'd be less than 1%. But for them to be in college, I think they had to have 13 years of remedial classes because they apparently didn't learn anything from their time in kindergarten through high school. No doubt, brother. Last two before I jump in the dipper. Tyler from Huntsville says, isn't it ironic how the left called Trump a literal Nazi and Hitler, and now they're the ones calling for the death of all Jews? The hypocrisy is astounding. Spot on, bro. And then Beth from Huntsville says, how much of these New York colleges' messes is to take attention from the Trump cases? I don't think it's taking attention from the Trump cases. They want Trump front and center. They want him to be tried in the public arena. I'm a little concerned that it's blocking our view of other things like the southern border or the economy or, you know, what's happening in the Middle East. So anyway, there's that. Let me jump on in. First dipper, change of subject. You ready? Yesterday it got weird in Montgomery. I've told you before, what happens in Montgomery, down yonder, I'll say down yonder in Goat Hill in Montgomery, is just as important to you and how it affects you as what comes out of D.C. any given day. So the legislative session's almost over. Like, they're within about, I think, two or three legislative days now of being out of days. They are only allowed to have, I believe it's 30 legislative days in a 105-day period, if I'm not mistaken. So what that basically means is they convene on a certain day, and then generally speaking, they go in, they call it going in, 2 days a week. When I say going in, what I'm talking about is they spend a day or part of a day in the Senate or House chamber enacting legislation. They usually add another day that doesn't count against their numbers in the middle for committees. So you're looking at, a lot of times you'll hear a legislator talking about having a two-day week. It's not really a two-day week. What that means is they only went into the chamber 2 days. But once they've used up their 30, they can do no more. The session is over. They have no choice but to, by law, adjourn sine die. Sine die, Latin meaning it is finished. So we're almost there. Almost there. The gambling bill, which, okay, I recognize that some of y'all out there may be somewhat lenient on the idea of gaming. I get it. Some of y'all are like, we just want a lottery. Here's the thing. I spent 8 years in the Alabama legislature. In 8 years, I never had anybody tell me, my life would be better, Senator, if you would please make sure I had a new casino. Never happened. My life would be better, Senator, if I could make bets on my phone. Never happened. Senator, my life would be so much better if you could make sure that the people who've been breaking the laws are now protected and they can be rewarded for breaking the laws. Anyway, all that to say, this bill they've got, even if you like gaming, is not a Republican bill. It's got Medicaid expansion built into it. Dude, what? Yes, they've got Medicaid expansion built into it. You know what that is? That's called Obamacare. Why is that built in? Because they had to get the Democrat votes. And so they secured the Democrat votes by giving away their Republican principles. Medicare is built in. They're going to grow government because they have to have a new gambling commission. That's going to be built in. There's lots of taxes because, you know, got to have the revenue stream. Otherwise, why do it, right? So they're raising taxes. And then you look at all the things that the gaming brings and the level of corruption. Supposedly, we're the hard-on-crime party, right? We're the ones who were like, not on our watch. We'll take care of things. Not so much right now. Not so much. What we're looking at is a group of people who have been avidly desirous of passing this legislation, and their excuse for doing so has been, well, there's people out there breaking the laws, and we know they're breaking the laws, and it's just hard to enforce the laws. So if we just legalize it, then we can tax it, and we don't have to worry about enforcing the law anymore. That's the most lame. I mean, What a bunch of soy boy excuses. I have never heard of anything quite so lame in my entire life. That is just embarrassing. But that's what they've been doing. So anyway, the bill, you may recall, the bill went to the House. The House had nothing more important than this. It didn't matter about your tax relief. It didn't matter about school choice. It didn't matter about passing the budgets. It didn't matter about building roads. It didn't matter about improving, you know, the court system or healthcare or anything else. The only thing that was the most important to the House was to pass this gambling bill. And they did. And it was awful. They went in there, twisted arms, and in the first few days of the legislative session, they slammed that thing through and transmitted it to the Senate. The Senate, on the other hand, went and hit the brakes and slowed things down. The Senate changed it. The Senate took out online sports gaming. The Senate took out a lot of stuff about rewarding bad actors, but they still left some of it in. The Senate made all kinds of changes and said, we're not going to do all this. We might do part of it. And they sent it back, and the House got mad. And so for the last couple of weeks, several weeks, the House and the Senate have been butting heads. You won't pass my bills. Well, we're not going to pass your bills because you didn't pass our bill. Your bill was bad. I don't care. It was our bill. We wanted it. It's just, it's petulant. Anyway, the bottom line is this. When the House and the Senate can't agree on a piece of legislation that both have otherwise passed, but they passed it differently, they have to do what's called going to conference. They go to conference, and it's like a mediation. You send in three from each, three House, three Senate. They sit down. They start hashing things out. And their hashing came to a head yesterday, apparently. Their hashing made something happen. Their hashing brought it out. And here's what has to happen. If you have a committee report that comes out of conference, you take it to the floor of both bodies. You can interrupt the regular order. It doesn't have to be on the calendar. And at a time when you receive, you know, special business, it can be brought up and, you know, and say the committee on conference reports, yada, yada, yada. You'll have somebody speak to it generally, and then you vote to concur or non-concur. If you concur, it's done. If you non-concur, it goes back to conference. Yesterday, that thing came out of the House like a speeding bullet. It was like a freight train. It ran down to the House floor from the conference committee and just barreled its way onto the floor. Shabam! They voted that thing through. We're happy. We want it. I'll tell you what all's in it in a minute. The Senate, on the other hand, sat on it for a day. I take it back. They sat on it for half a day. And then it came up. And then it failed. Wait a minute. What? Phil, why are we talking about this then? They didn't vote on it? No, because there's this strange thing that I like to refer to as floor magic. Floor magic. Floor magic is that strange, altered sense of reality that place where time is bent and perceptions are shifted and you think you see, but you don't really see. Floor magic is when things get weird on the floor of the Senate. In all my 8 years down in the Senate, I can't tell you how many conference committee reports I had to vote to concur or non-concur with. I never recalled ever seeing the committee report voted on to quote-unquote adopt it, after which it requires a second vote to pass it. Never seen that before. I'm not saying it's not possible. Secretary of the Senate is Pat Harris. Pat Harris is a good guy. Pat Harris knows the rules. Pat Harris says he's only seen this happen once in all of the many, many years he's been working in the Senate. And so, lo and behold, the thing came out to be adopted on a vote of 20 to 15. That's not enough for passage. They have to have 21 because they have to have a supermajority to get it done. But it passed with a simple majority. Oh, okay, it's adopted. I moved to carry the bill over, and then the bill was carried over, so allegedly it's still alive when the whole world watched it get voted down. But no, what we were really doing was just voting to adopt it. That's all it was. Senate Pro Tem Greg Reed, who's a friend of mine, says it was just a test vote. It was like a test vote. There's no test votes. In 8 years, I never saw a test vote. The test vote is when you bring it up for procedural matters, not on something substantive like this. It wasn't a test vote. It failed. I don't think it really failed. We're going to carry it over at the call of the chair. We'll bring it back up later after we've had a chance to run people ragged. Here's what I'm hearing, by the way. I just heard a little while ago, and there are some senators down there who are pissed. I was texting one a minute ago. There are some senators down there who are ticked because the governor's office sent one of its staffers over. Ask the governor's office if it's true that Brooks McClendon, who works for the governor, came over with a notebook full of names of people who voted no and threatened to take away their road projects in their area if they didn't vote for the bill. Ask the governor if Brooks McClendon is the staffer who went over there with a little list of people who voted no and said the governor really wants this gambling bill. Isn't that our anti-gambling governor, Kay Ivey? Yes, it is. Isn't that the governor who's about to be term limited and won't be there anymore? Yes, it is. Isn't that the governor who's like been real lukewarm and kind of quiet in the background and said maybe we ought to do this but didn't really push it out front? Yes, it is. And the governor sent Brooks McClendon, her staffer? Listen, if it's not true, they can call and tell me, but I'm telling you I have it on good authority that young Brooks McClendon walked across the street from the governor's office with a list. And he went down to the offices of the people who voted no, and he made sure they understood that if they didn't vote yes, they might not get some new pavement in their area. That's messed up. That is beyond messed up. And I was texting one of the senators and said, hold the line, brother. And he goes, you know me. I will. But this is interesting. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back, and I'll tell you some of the things that are in that bill. And then, oh, by the way, we will have a former Supreme Court Justice, Glenn Murdoch, on the phone to talk to us in detail about what he sees in it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Like making common sense like a superpower. Go to the phones real quick. Got a is that Lee from Huntsville. How are you, my friend?
I am befuddled.
Befuddled?
Yes. I am not understanding why suddenly Governor Ivey's popping up like a whack-a-mole when she has been relatively quiet for, I mean, quite some time. Honestly, she has seemed uninvolved.
Well, keep in mind, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, I mean, she's pushing for to get this on the ballot, and I smell either, I mean, because everything goes back to money usually with state government.
Oh, yeah.
So who's benefiting from this, and how would the governor or her office or her cronies or anyone else, family, benefit from this? What is happening here?
Well, first of all, yes, money. I think that's a big deal. And I don't mean like money bribes. I'm not going to try and say, I know somebody's on the take. I'm not the guy. Since I've spent time down there in Montgomery, I am less enamored of the people who will say, they're all on the take, because they're not all on the take. But I will say this, money's a huge factor because there's a great deal of revenue that comes out of this if they pass it. That's the sole motivation for the majority of them. They don't want gambling. They want money from gambling. Is one of the biggest deals.
Right.
But you mentioned the governor has been somewhat quiet and behind the scenes. Keep in mind what I just described a minute ago is the kind of thing that isn't usually known, but it happens too often. It's arm twisting. It's threats. It's
right.
We'll take away that thing you need and make your constituents think you're a bad senator if you don't give us the vote that we want. And it I don't recall it ever working with me, I'll be honest with you. And in fact, you know what? They didn't even try it with me. If they know that you're going to be the kind that is going to bow to pressure, they will use this tactic. But the response to this just needs to be, well, I tell you what, tell the governor we'll have a press conference and I'll tell the whole world. I have a good friend, and I think you probably know him, Bill Holtzclaw, used to represent part of Huntsville.
Yeah.
Bill had the exact same issue. He was told he would lose his road projects if he didn't vote for the gas tax that they were trying to pass when he and I were still in. He and I were the two of the ones that killed it. And he went and put up a billboard and said, they want to raise your taxes. I'm not going to let that happen. He was told he would then lose all paving projects in his area. So he called out the press again and said, they say I'm going to lose all paving projects. What say you, constituents? The constituents loved him for it.
I just find this to be a form of blackmail.
It is.
It's very disgusting. And my question is, yes, I know they want the money from gambling, and that's not what I mean. I don't think anybody's like getting an envelope of cash in the mail. What I'm saying is that there's arm twisting in both directions, And somebody, I imagine the AEA is doing some arm twisting because they want that education money, which, you know, you give them all that education money, still isn't going to matter a whit if they still have the same policies.
Yeah.
But it's going to give them a whole lot more money to pay off a lot of Republicans who are running for office. So I just think people need to understand here that, and I want, maybe you're getting ready to get into this, but I want to know what comes along with this. When they say it's too expansive, I was reading 1819.
Yeah.
What do they mean by expansive? And are they still talking about some weird secret police force that's going to, like there was some really scary stuff in that original bill.
Oh, there was. And a lot of it's still there. And then some of it was reworded to make it look less scary, but it's, here's the thing. If you word things a certain way, they can look obscure, but they can be construed in court later. So what will wind up happening, this is why we found out later on that Milton McGregor's folks had been paying our legislative services staff to make sure that certain words got put in the bill. Because he knew that if he lost a casino using that certain verbiage and someone said you can't do that, he would take his lawyers, pay him $1 million to go to court and fight to mean that one word meant something to him. They're gonna try and construe it later. So even if you don't think it's there right now or it's questionable right now, just understand they will make it be there through the efforts of the courts later on. I just see the whole thing as being a god awful mess, and it's too much of it is rewarding the bad actors.
And I don't think the state of Alabama, I don't think the people of the state of Alabama, they may want a lottery or something like that, but I don't think they want everything in here. And people, you got to take the bad with a little bit of good. Better remember that.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And really, how long a drive is it to Biloxi? Is it that bad? If you really want a casino, it takes you an extra hour to drive from somewhere in Alabama. I don't see that in being a deal.
No, it isn't that far. Yeah. I don't know. I don't go. But I'm just saying people better think long and hard about this. They better really consider this.
They should. All right, we're about to go to the break, my friend. Thank you. Appreciate you. Yeah, she's right. There's a lot of stuff in that bill. And the guy who has been doing the deep dive on it since the bill popped out of conference last night. And here's the thing. What's really frustrating is when you're working an issue and a new version of it pops up and you can't even get to see it before they're already bringing it to the floor. It's pretty much what happened yesterday. But there are some people like Eagle Forum and the Alabama Policy Institute and our friend who's about to come on right now, former Supreme Court Justice Glenn Murdoch, who have done a great job of grabbing hold of the bill and deep diving into it to see what's there. We'll talk to him, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two. We're still in Dipper number one. I'm calling this rolling the dice because that's what they're doing with your future right now. They are rolling the dice with your future, putting bets on bets, if you know what I'm saying. Well, I gave you the lowdown a minute ago about the procedural and the historical aspects of where we are and how we got to last night. The bills come out of conference. They were rushed to the House floor. They passed overwhelmingly. And now the Senate is getting pressure from the governor's office because apparently it's got one more vote to go. That procedural aspect, by the way, in my opinion, is questionable, but not so much that I can sit here and tell you that it can't happen that way. I can just tell you in 8 years, I never saw it happen that way. But somebody who has been really in the weeds on this fight, who has every bit of the gravitas it takes to be able to give you the finer points of the law related to gaming and illegal gaming and legislation related to such in the state of Alabama, is coming on the air with us right now. You may have heard his ads playing for the last few weeks on Right Side Radio. It's a former Associate Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, Glenn Murdoch, who has served at the appellate level, is now back in private practice, and I'm glad to have him as a friend and an ally in this fight. Justice Murdoch, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Phil, and it's so great to be on your show. I just enjoy it so much. Like you said, entertain and educate, and you do a fantastic job. I hope I can hold up my end of the bargain for a few minutes here.
Well, I have no doubt you will, but listen, by the way, I want to thank you in front of all the listeners here. Thank you for being neck deep in this fight. I mean, you and several organizations like Eagle Forum and Alabama Policy Institute and ALCAP and several others have literally been in the fray on this thing near daily for the last several months. So thank you for what you do.
Well, thank you. And thank you for doing it every single day year round.
Well, glad of it. Listen, Justice Murdoch, let me just ask you, the bill as it sits right now, lost by one vote on what they're trying to claim was a procedural vote last night. It's going to potentially come back to the floor again. We are literally one vote away from knowing whether or not they're going to expand gaming in the state of Alabama. I've told my audience procedurally where we're at. I wish you'd tell us some things that are in this bill right now in detail so they can know what we're facing. Would you mind?
I'd be glad to. The first thing I would mention is this. Electronic gaming. 7 locations are specifically allowed in this bill. Now, they allow the Porch Creek tribe to have their 3 existing sites with full-fledged Vegas-style casino, both the physical games and electronic versions of those games inside those casinos. But they have 7 more sites around the state, including one in Jefferson County, just a few miles from downtown Birmingham. And these 7 sites, right, these 7 sites are specifically allowed to have electronic games of chance. This is, for anybody following on their bingo card at home, this is line 75 of the Constitutional Amendment. It specifically references electronic games of chance. It's not like the bills that we've been seeing for 2 months where it says electronic bingo or electronic historical horse racing or slot machines. It's not limited to that anymore. There's no definition of electronic games of chance. So anything that you can put on an electronic screen, which nowadays is anything.
Anything, right.
You can play in one of these 7 locations, including in Jefferson County. So think about it. You can put a roulette game on the screen. You can put a blackjack game on the screen and give each of your patrons a little electronic pad to push when they want to get another card, when they want to ask for another card. You can put a dice game. You can put anything these days on a monitor. And then as long as you don't have a dealer, a human dealer, and physical cards and physical dice, in fact, the House representative that is carrying this bill, Representative Blackshear, explicitly referred to, he specifically said on the House floor last night that what this bill creates in these 7 locations is dealerless casinos.
Wow. Wow. So basically he's not shying away from it. He just we're not gonna have the jobs, we're just gonna have the problems. That's all.
We're gonna have dealerless casinos, and that means the full array of Vegas games will be in Jefferson County, a few miles from the city limits of Birmingham, with all the attendant problems of crime and more sex trafficking and addiction and drug and alcohol use and just the cultural landscape change. Of having these 7, because they are no longer little slot machine casinos spread around the Black Belt in Jefferson County. They're now full Vegas casinos.
Well, where do the Porch Creeks
fall in
this? Can I ask you this? The Porch Creeks are also written into this new bill. They've got their tribal lands, and there's some differences and nuances in the law related to them, but they still are bound to what the state allows. So there's discussion now in the legislation, I understand, about the governor will forge a compact with the Porch Creeks. How did this wind up?
Well, so what the viewers, listeners, and I guess they are viewing you a little bit.
They are.
You have a picture feed. What the listeners may want to know about the Porch Creek compact, and then there's one other thing I want to share with you if we can before the break. But it's a great question you've asked about the compact. The compact is, aside from these 7 locations, the compact is nothing but a federal law term for a contract between the state of Alabama and the Indians. And what this bill does, for the first time in Alabama history, it authorizes and obligates the governor to negotiate a compact with the Porch Creek to allow them to have Vegas-style casinos on their 3 existing sites of Atmore, Wetumpka, and Montgomery. Now, that is not limited on those sites to the electronic version. They'll be able to have human dealers giving you your cards at the blackjack table. But the governor will be obligated to do that. But here's the thing that came out of this conference committee bill on the Porch Creek compact that is a new twist. It's something very interesting, and I think pretty much all the senators may have missed this. And again, if you're following on the bingo card at home, if you have a copy of the constitutional amendment, if you're a legislator listening to me, it's on lines 174 and 175 of the constitutional amendment bill. Now, before last night, this obligation for the governor to negotiate a compact with the Indians said that you must negotiate a compact for any and all activities allowed under the Indian gaming law. What that meant is any and all types of gaming, such as a roulette table, poker games, dice games, anything allowed under federal Indian gaming law, any type.
Right.
And so that was bad enough. But here's what they snuck in on this conference committee. They added this language for some reason, including Class 3 games in any form.
Oh,
now the reason that is
that's new. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So in particular, there's a case in the U.S. Supreme Court right now that is considering what in any form means. Does it mean that if the casino has a game of roulette and blackjack that is allowed on site, can it offer the online form of that game to people located outside of the reservation as long as the server receiving the bet is still on the location of the reservation?
So we're back to online gaming again.
Exactly. Exactly. The most recent federal court decision on it is out of the D.C. Circuit Court, and what it says is, as far as the federal law is concerned, Indian tribes can have online gaming. We're fine with that. But we want to see that the state has indicated that it's okay with the state in order for them to have such online gaming. Federal law, no problem. But just make sure that the state has somehow indicated that it's okay with it. And that's what somebody put in here on lines 174 and 175 at the last minute.
Well, that was
including Class 3 games in any form.
Well, so Justice, so here's the thing, and we're closing in on our time for the first break. But you just described something. We're looking at now. Suddenly, there could be 3 Porch Creek casinos and 7 more electronic casinos. We could be looking at upwards of 10 new casinos across. I mean, we're going to end up being just casino heavy across the entire state of Alabama.
I wish it stopped there, but it doesn't. The whole preoccupation with electronic gaming in this bill and the attempt to mesh a Senate version and a House version here at the last minute has focused so heavily on electronic gaming that, yes, what you just said is true, 10 casinos, full Vegas games, but these bills mesh together now into this conference bill says nothing about physical gaming anymore. It leaves us naked in terms of physical gambling. It regulates electronic gambling, or attempts to. But maybe after the break, if we need to take a break, I can explain how it really would allow a convenience store in Homewood or Gardendale or Trustville or Fairfield to open up and have a physical roulette table or card game the day after this passes, as long as Brady's convenience store doesn't do it electronically.
That's unreal.
It's a screw up in the bill.
That's unreal. Well, listen, we do have to take a break right now, so let's do that. Justice Murdoch, if you don't mind hanging on during the break, I'd appreciate it. That'd be good.
Yes, sir.
All right. Sure. We are with Justice Glenn Murdoch, a former Associate Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, who has really done the work to sort of lawyer up, if you will, on this piece of legislation that could change the cultural shape of the state of Alabama. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, going right back to the phones right now with former Alabama Associate Justice for the Supreme Court, Glenn Murdoch. So, Justice Murdoch, we're talking about the legislation that is still pending a potential final vote. I don't know where the vote count sits today. It didn't have enough last night. I'm hearing there's a lot of arm twisting going on. But there's a few other things going on inside that bill. And then there's also what I would call the second and third order effects of the bill. But am I correct that Medicaid expansion, growth of government, all that stuff is still in the bill? Am I right?
Medicaid has been put back in. It was not in the Senate bill. Medicaid expansion. They create a gambling commission with its own police force.
Oh my gosh! To
oversee all this, local authorities, local sheriffs, and police chiefs, and police forces in cities. No, it's going to be a specialized police force answerable to the gaming commission. That sounds like something out of the Soviet Union.
Yeah, it does.
To me.
Yeah, it does.
It's nuts. They take away all jurisdiction from the Alabama Supreme Court over any certain gambling disputes and put it in some special court because they're tired of the Supreme Court of Alabama ruling against them on the gambling.
Well, how can they remove it from the Supreme Court? I mean, I don't understand.
Listen. Brazenness knows no limits, apparently, in this legislation.
Wow.
You're right. They're twisting arms to try to get this as bad as it is, and that's why I hope that some of your listeners will call their local senators. This came out so fast, I don't think Senator Wagner in Birmingham had a chance to really appreciate some of the things we're talking about. Senator Melson up in the Quad Cities. Some of these guys are really good men, but they didn't have the time to appreciate what this bill does. Including the two things we talked about before the break. We talked about that these seven spots will have full Vegas-style casinos as long as they're played on an electronic screen. And we talked about the fact that the Indians in three locations will have full physical and electronic gaming on their sites with potentially hosting online servers for online statewide gaming. But there's another thing that I don't think anybody caught. If I can share one more big concern about
absolutely.
The way this thing is written.
Yeah.
So, Phil, until last night, until today, even as we speak today, there's Section 65 of the Alabama Constitution is a general bulwark against all forms of gambling. All gambling, period. No qualifications except for certain narrow exceptions for this bingo stuff in several counties and dog and horse racing in several counties. Aside from that, it says gambling is prohibited, and the legislature shall pass laws to prohibit gambling with criminal consequences. The focus has been so intent on regulating electronic gaming, and I don't think they do a good job of it.
Yeah.
So you've got seven full-fledged casinos. You've got the Porch Creek, but what about outside those seven full casinos? The focus here, they have stripped away the old Section 65 that prohibited gambling generally, and specifically, the old Section 65 required the legislature to pass laws making gambling illegal in Alabama. And the legislature did that. This new constitutional amendment eliminates all those criminal laws for gambling. It eliminates the old Section 65 that required the legislature to enact laws making gambling generally illegal. And instead, it only obligates the legislature now to pass laws that make something called gambling activity, quote unquote, illegal. Now, gambling activity is not defined in the constitutional amendment, but it's defined in this bill that's right beside it that's going to pass at the same time. If it passes, Lord, please don't let it pass. But if this were to pass, the accompanying bill that puts the details, the meat on the bone, defines gambling activity as only electronic gambling. So what that means is that this new constitutional amendment will make the legislature pass laws to prohibit gambling activity. Gambling activity is defined as only electronic. They have left us naked on any requiring the legislature to make illegal physical gambling.
And Justice Murdoch, and I hate it because we are out of time on this, but the reality is this is a bad bill. And I cannot help but think that which it may not, but if it passes, I cannot help but think that there needs to be litigation to deal with this, because as many times as we've had a conservative bill be drawn into court, this is a really, really bad liberal bill, and it needs to be adjudicated.
Look, and listen, even if you've got viewers who are agnostic on or don't believe Wellhouse Ministries when they say sex trafficking will increase around these 10 casinos, even if they're not worried about the tens of thousands of new addicts that will be created if we just get up to the national average in gambling addiction, then they need to be concerned about this.
Yeah.
The politics, the gambling interests will control our politics, and I hope your listeners will think about that, because the money is huge, and they'll take over Alabama politics.
Justice of the Supreme Court, Glenn Murdoch, we appreciate you. We got to go. I appreciate your time. Thank you, sir. Take care.
Thank you, Phil.
All right, we're out of time. Going to a break. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about Alabama, y'all. And I mean, this show goes like, oh, way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, before I move on with the topics at hand, I got to point out, so that you hear the ads playing during the break, right? Listen, Right Side Radio, we are a standalone entity. We are a business unto ourselves. And so part of the way we support ourselves, like any other business might, is by selling ads. If you're a Right Side ruffian and you own a business that sells goods or services, just understand that we've got an audience here, a captive audience that all of our stations combined say we've got way over 30,000 listeners per week. That's a whole bunch of Right Side ruffians that might rather buy from another ruffian. So if you want a captive audience for your goods and services, consider advertising on Right Side Radio. And you don't do it by calling the station, you contact us directly. So you go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. And you click on the advertising contact tab, send us a message. Lauren from Right Side will be in touch with you ASAP. Love to get you on the team. Advertise at Right Side Radio. Go to rightsideradio.org. Send us a message. We'll be on it. There's that. Hey, by the way, Justice Murdoch called me back real quick during the break and reminded me of something. Listen, if you want to know that your senator has heard from you, your state senator, and I will say this, if you don't know who your senator and representative are, do not be at all put off by that. You can, in fact, I'll tell you what we've done on the rightsideradio.org website. You can go to it at the very bottom of the page. It says click here to find your state elected officials. And it'll take you to a site where you can just like plug in your zip code or whatever, and it'll tell you who your House and Senate representatives or your House and Senate elected officials are. If you don't know them, that's okay. But I will tell you this, they are far more accessible than you might think. I've said a couple times already today on the show that, you know, I spent 8 years in the state Senate. I ate in the same restaurants, went to the same church. You know, I was walking the same, you know, streets, you know, seeing the same people in the same community. Nothing changed. I went from being in Sunday school with them on one day to being elected and being in Sunday school again the next week. These folks just live among you. They're part-time state and Senate, state House and Senate folks that have other jobs back in the community. Get to know them. Get to know them. Meet them at a ribbon cutting somewhere. Meet them at a school function. Meet them somewhere. A lot of them have local delegation offices. We didn't in my district, but a lot of them do. Jefferson County, I know they've got a local delegation office where you can call and ask if you can stop by and talk to them. But you can also call them. I'm about to give you the phone number, so stand by. I'm going to call the number out, and then if you need it later, we'll call it out again. But if you want to call your senator and tell them how you feel about the gambling bill, the number is this. You ready? 334-261-0800. Call your senator. That's 334-261-0800. You just call them. If you're not sure who it is, you tell them where you live. They'll patch you through to the correct office. And you may wind up just talking to one of their staffers, but you just tell them, you know, I'm so-and-so from the community of so-and-so. I'm in Senator so-and-so's district, and I want him to vote no on that bill. Anyway, there's that. It's good stuff. All right. I'm going to change gears. Coming up top of the hour, by the way, we're going to have the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. I think Jeff is maybe in Montgomery right now, so he might give us the heads up on some new stuff. But I'm going to switch gears for a minute. Got to break the tension of the moment. And I got to tell you guys, I just posted this on my social media like during one of the breaks. This is my new favorite story of the day. No fooling. My new favorite story of the day. This one may just carry me through several days. Let me read you the headline. UNC, that's University of North Carolina, UNC fraternity brothers defend the American flag from a campus mob who had tried to replace it with the Palestinian flag. Let that sink in. You're hearing so much about these chuckleheads, all these kids who played upward basketball all their lives and never had to worry about what real competition meant. And now all of a sudden they're, you know, they're drinking their lattes and you know, calling for intifada. It's ridiculous. But there are good, solid, red-blooded American kids still walking the campuses of the same places we're talking about who are doing things like defending the flag. I'm loving this story. So Fox News has it. It's on the website right now. And apparently what did happen was in the middle of the quad on UNC Chapel Hill, in the middle of the quad, a bunch of protesters took down the American flag, which, by the way, had been flying at half-mast because of several Charlotte Mecklenburg federal officials who were killed in a warrant, trying to serve a warrant the other day. So you got four law enforcement officers that were killed. The flag's flying at half-staff, and these, you know, pro-Palestinian chuckleheads have nothing better to do than to tear that flag down and put up a Palestinian flag. They did. They put up a Palestinian flag on the campus at UNC Chapel Hill. The campus police got in there, took it down, and put up the American flag again. Good on them. And oh, by the way, thank you to the president of the university who called on them to get out there and fix that flag situation. That was UNC Chancellor Lee Roberts. Then the protesters thought, well, we're going to go fix that. We're going to quickly suck down the rest of our soy lattes and we're going to go fix that. And they ran over there to do something about it. While the police officers had been raising the new flag, a group of fraternity brothers had been nearby watching and began singing the national anthem. Kid you not, read the story. Began singing the national anthem as they watched their flag go back up. But then the Palestinian protesters tried to go back and take it back down again, and these fraternity brothers had it. There's a great picture of them as the pro-Palestinians had tried to bring it down. You got all these fraternity brothers holding the flag up so it won't touch the ground. And just having the best time facing down. And they're a small group. They were way outnumbered, and they could give a rat's hind in. They just had a good time. And they had all kinds of profanity and things being thrown at them, rocks and, you know, and bottles of water and everything being thrown at them. And they stood there singing the national anthem, chanting USA as the American flag stayed on the pole. And here's what one of them said. He said this. He said, when the flag was raised once again, the Greek community began singing the national anthem. As the chancellor left, because the chancellor had gone out there with them, the quad erupted into chaos when protesters began removing the flag. My fraternity brother and others ran over to hold it up so it wouldn't touch the ground. People began throwing water bottles at us and rocks and sticks and calling us all kinds of profane names. And we stood there for an hour defending our flag. This is awesome, y'all. This is restoring hope, in my opinion. Well, of course, they met resistance. But one of them said this. He said, I will not stand for the disrespect these protesters caused for the sake of another country. He said, and he refers to somebody, but he basically says, it's going to be memorable knowing that my fraternity brothers and others fought to keep the flag up. But then he also says it was also memorable knowing so many had yearned to disrespect it, but we're not going to. Y'all, that is exactly what we need more of. Those are also kids, by the way. And if you look at them, by the way, they are all just like salt of the earth. Look like they just played high school football last year, and they're standing out there going, not on my watch. And we need more of that in America. Because right now, we've got a whole bunch of kids who, like I said earlier, spent a lot of their growing up never getting anything more than maybe a timeout once in a while when they did something wrong. If they threw a tantrum, they got their way, and they played upward basketball, so there was no score, so they wouldn't feel bad about themselves. And all the God's children got a participation trophy. And now here they are getting their higher education and shutting down the campus. And I've personally had it. I said it in my monologue earlier. I watched as a police officer, and I don't know for a fact, but I think he might have been one of the chiefs because it looked like he had stars on his collar. And he was standing out there with his men. And I think it may have been a girl, actually. walked up and said something to him, and he looked at her, and then she threw her drink all over him. And you could see the look on his face, like he was ready to do something, and then he realized he can't. So for whatever reason, they had been held back. I'm just telling you, man. What I just read to you about the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, it's game on, brother. That's the way it should be. They didn't do anything. They didn't start a fight. They didn't go out there and you know, carry big sticks and try to make a scene. They just went out there and said, that's our flag and you can't have it. Praise God. Real quickly, I got a few text messages for the break. Thomas from Athens says, regarding contact to the senator, he said, if you call, anyway, I think what he said, he's had trouble getting through. Well, Thomas, go to our website and look up exactly who your state senator is and try him again. But since you're calling from Athens, I'm pretty sure that's State Senator Arthur Orr. And I'm also pretty sure you're not going to have to worry because he voted against the bill. Somebody else asked the question. John from Harvest said, I'm looking up Senator Butler's email address. Do you know how he voted on the bill? Just so you know, John from Harvest, he voted against the bill. So he's one of the no votes. That's good. Sean from Winston County said, I figured all along they would wait to the last minute, try to pass the gambling bill. He said, also, the college kids, they're useful idiots doing exactly what the colleges have been teaching them to do. Love the show, Phil. Thanks, Sean. Appreciate you, man. David from Athens. Yeah, it's good to see our tax dollars going to such good U.S. Paying off all those student loans of all the protesters. No doubt. And by the way, did you? I don't know if you saw it or not, but the girl, she's getting mocked heavily on social media. But this this chucklehead who went out to the microphone and said, we need the university to allow us to have food brought in, because what do they want? Do they want us to all die of dehydration and starvation? Because, and I'm thinking, what? And then they had demands. They want complete amnesty. We want to break into a building, tear down the flag, stop people from going to school, shut down services on the campus. You can't have your commencement ceremony, but we also demand complete amnesty, and you can't bring any penalties.
Did you read the text from Lewis from Trinity earlier?
No, what did you say?
I was listening on the radio as they were arresting students, and they were arresting this one young girl, and she was screaming and crying, please don't arrest me, I have finals.
So do all the people who couldn't get to their class. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break right now. We'll come right back. Coming up top of the hour, it's going to be Grand Council time with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hope y'all enjoyed that earlier, that story I had about the students at UNC Chapel Hill, the fraternity brothers who all got out there and said, you're not taking our flag. Just so you know, it also got really, really, really ugly last night at UCLA. So out in California, I was just watching a video during the break there, and out in California, they apparently had a large group of pro-Israel supporters. Like, and I don't know if they were all Jewish, but you had a large group that was basically not putting up with the pro-Hamas, you know, occupied zone anymore. And they showed up, and they had like over 200 of them. And apparently got to the point that they far outnumbered the pro-Palestinians, and it turned into a fight, man. Not everybody, because, you know, some of them were, they weren't expecting violence. We didn't know there'd be violence. We just want to end the violence. But there was apparently quite a few punches thrown. I saw some being thrown. And, you know, it did look like it was, I would say, a fight. Like, you know, nobody was standing their ground and delivering, you know, body blows. But it was obvious, though, that it had taken a new level. UCLA is one of the stories that I was going to bring up later. But UCLA, they did have to, the police had to descend on that campus in part to restore order, not just from the occupation zone, but because there was true violence. When you got protesters and counter-protesters in the dark of night and tempers are flaring and punches are being thrown, police, you better get there. And by the way, the fact that that's happening at all is because the police aren't doing squat. That's the problem. This is why I said earlier, you've got to have the broken windows theory of policing going on here. You can't just say, well, if we try to work with them and reason with them, no. You give them a freaking warning, and if they don't heed the warning, you have no choice but to take action. Otherwise, you wind up having things like what happened at UCLA. The kids who broke into that building on Columbia University, you see the pictures. I hope you've seen the pictures on TV of them literally breaking out windows to be able to get into a locked building and take it over. Take it over. Who does this? But they did. After they'd been there for over a week with nobody doing anything and the school giving them ultimatums on like, what, three occasions, but yet doing nothing when the ultimatums weren't heeded. I mean, look, if you're going to continue to raise kids without any, you know, credible means of discipline, they're going to grow up to be undisciplined young adults and who are going to grow up to be undisciplined, fully grown adults. It's where we are. But some good ones are out there, and I'm loving that story from Chapel Hill. Teresa from Town Creek says, love the show. Thank you for the information you provide every day. Thank you, Teresa. I appreciate that very much. Brian from Decatur said, this is stated partially in jest. However, how is a full-blown gaming around Birmingham going to change the crime issues that already has for the worst? Well, make them worse. And, you know, if you look at it, here's the thing, Brian. One of the things that you have to consider is this gaming revenue is not going to suddenly make it cleaner and better downtown. It's going to make it worse. And so if it's already a bad spot, how bad do you want it to get? I mean, it's just, anyway. Laura from Arab says, with regards to Lee calling in, Lee from Huntsville says, Lee is right. Blackmail. Isn't that illegal? And more selling the soul of Alabama to the devil. Please, Phil, run for governor. Thank you very much. That job eats people. I'm not sure I ever want to do that. If God calls, we'll see. But Barbara from Trinity says, I just called Governor Ivey's office about the threats made to senators who voted no on gambling. I said, if this is true, it doesn't look good for the governor. Of course, the other person wanted to deny it. I hope her office is flooded with calls. I hope so, too. I hope so, too. And look, if it's wrong, then tell me why I had the name of the person who was pressuring the senators. And by the way, Governor Ivey did this on the gas tax. To my brethren and sistren who are still in the Senate, let me just say this. If they threaten you with, I'll just write your name in the little book and you won't get any more road projects. If they do that, all you have to do is say, that's fine. Let's go outside and have the press conference now. What do you mean? I mean, let's go outside and tell the press. I'll call them. They'll come. They will. I'd like to make I need a press conference. So we have a press room right there. We helped build it. A press room right there at the State House. Governor, you're welcome to be there. You can deny it to the cameras if you want to, but I'm going to go ahead and tell them that you told me that my constituents who voted for me are not going to get any more asphalt on their roads because you didn't get a gambling bill. Just tell her that. Tell her that and then go do a press conference. Be awesome. You'll be a hero too, by the way. We got a brand new texter, Jack from Athens. This is our state senator, Tim Melson, who voted in favor of the gambling bill. Our House representative is Danny Crawford, who also voted in favor of the gambling bill. No surprise, both of them also voted in favor of marijuana. They did. John from Harvest texted in again. He says, I read where some pro-Israel folks at UCLA had set up a large screen with loudspeakers showing videos of the October 7th atrocities on a loop. Wow. Then I wonder if that was the first time the young protesters saw what the people they support did. They probably thought it was fake. That's not real. That's artificial intelligence, probably. And then Jeff from Town Creek says, hi. What? Oh, okay. Thank you, brother. He wants me to run. No, I'm not going to run for governor. No, thank you very much. But I will. Right now, I'm in a position where I think I can have greater influence for the moment. So we'll see what God does. All right, listen, we got coming up here momentarily. I'm looking forward to it. Getting back in the swing now, Grand Council, with our brethren Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back.